This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, welcome to an Eat Sleep Elite mini podcast here. I'm Charlie, I'm joined by good brother Garrett here.
Hey.
And today we are talking about the Forbidden Door and what could possibly go down tonight. I mean, the Forbidden Door is opening tonight, Garrett. Tony Khan is signing someone tonight. We don't know who the fuck it is. So I mean, I figure why not just break this down and start talking about some people, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of people it could be. There's been people we've been talking about leading up to on the podcast for the last several months. Ever since we started, there's been one guy we've been really looking at as possibly showing up.
This is going to be fun, I think. So all in all, we're going to break down 16 names, and then I got a bonus name I'm going to throw Garrett at the end that he has no idea about. And fucking Money in the Bank running. Long story short, whatever podcast site you guys are catching us on right now, if you want to follow us, that'd be greatly appreciated. If you want to leave us a review, that'd be even better. And we just really appreciate it. You can catch Garrett on Twitch. The man is streaming at the Duke of Derps.
Well, not lately, but I usually am.
Yeah, usually. You can catch us. So this is probably in your feeds on Wednesday. You can catch us tomorrow discussing the finale of the Book of Boba Fett. And just kind of the series as a whole, that will be on our YouTube channel. That's Vasoki Entertainment.
That might be out late, by the way, because I do have a stream plan tomorrow. So
yeah. So either way, that'll be fun. And yeah, let's jump right into this, huh?
Absolutely. Which one of us? We didn't actually say which one of us should go first. So let's just on the fly. What are you feeling, brother?
I'll start us off. I'm going to start us off light, and I think I got a reason behind this. I'm going to start us off with Luchasaurus' best friend, and that is John Morrison, his IRL best friend. John Morrison's wrestled in every company, Garrett. AEW is going to eventually be off that checklist, right?
I would think, even if it's just like a one-off Forbidden Door type match, and I could see him, and I could see what you're saying. I could see him being this, and this is literally just a one-off. He's going to go back to, you know, Impact or something, because he's Johnny Impact, you know? And he knows he'll be a world champion over there if he wants to be, you know?
Yeah.
And he comes here, challenges a young stud that kind of has like a similar sort of swagger to him. Dude, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, hey, he walks in. Maybe the whole gimmick is he's literally just signing a contract for this ladder match. And he wrestles Isaiah Cassidy on Rampage on Friday, and that's it. I mean, John Morrison's had success everywhere he goes. And he's already booked a show for AAA, which multiple guys in AEW are on that card, like Phoenix and Penta. So,
I mean, the AAA world champions are FTR, aren't they?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is just an easy one.
Absolutely. I think that would be a no-brainer. He's absolutely known. It would be a huge pop, too, especially if you could get some of the music that he's used in at different points. It'd be cool. Or even like do the AEW throwback thing. You know what I'm saying? Like how they do, like, remember his old school? Have you ever heard his old school theme from back like when he was in his first run in WWE?
Yeah, dude.
Like,
beautiful
a little
stuff.
Nod to that. That would be cool. You know, maybe you can even get Melina. That'd be cool. But anyway,
so we got Johnny Elite. And then what do you got for the people?
All right. So you started us off light. I'm going to start us off with a little bit. Let's go extreme. I would love to see Isaiah Cassidy take on Jeff fucking Hardy.
I'll
tell you why. Because they have been leaning into this bit with Matt Hardy talking to Private Party about how they're almost the best tag team ever, but not quite as good as Team Extreme.
Yep.
And I would love to see a little, like, dissension amongst the AHFO. I know they just formed, but imagine if, you know, Isaiah Cassidy loses this. And that's what breaks off Private Party. We've talked about them potentially splitting. And then Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy versus Private Party. I mean, there's a lot you could do with that.
Well, there's so much, you know? Man.
And I just think it'd be really cool. So I won't spend that much time on that, but what do you
could almost do an angle. Again, Jeff Hardy's success everywhere he's gone. You can do an angle where Andrade's been trying to get Darby Allin. Well, maybe now Darby wants to join because Jeff Hardy's there.
Oh, because Jeff Hardy's like an inspiration of his. Oh, dude, that would be
incredible. The options are endless.
That would be incredible. I kind of want that now. Let's do that. All right. Screw that. No, there's no more list. That's it. End of the video.
That's it. So back to me. I'm going to take us to one of my favorite things over NXT in the past couple years. He was in the group Hit Row, and that is Mr. Shane Strickland. He also goes by the name Swerve. I mean, Garrett, this guy is unreal. He has a character that he fucking loves. He knows how to play it. He's a fantastic wrestler. Former world heavyweight champion in MLW too. He was kind of known for NXT over the past couple years. And like I said, he's my favorite thing in NXT. Hit Row, when the Undisputed Era kind of broke up, I mean, that became my favorite thing. So, and they brought him to the main roster and cut him a month later.
I remember when what was it called? The NXT Newcomers Tournament, whatever they did. That Swerve was
breakout tourney. Yep.
Didn't Swerve win that? Or did he come close?
He came close. He didn't win it. They had ACH win it
under the name
Jordan Miles, and then cut him like a couple months later.
So. Yeah, that's right. Even though we liked Miles too, he ended up stealing that tournament. But the standout of that tournament by far was Isaiah Swerve Scott coming out in the Naruto freaking flak jacket, like coming out with all the references to like anime and shit like that. I love the guy. I would love to see him end up as. Imagine if they let him keep the Swerve Scott name, and that's why they changed it too.
Well, they might do Swerve Strickland. I mean, he has the name Shane Strickland. So yeah,
that would be so good. That'd be awesome. I would definitely be into that. All right. So we're talking about some of our favorite things from NXT, right?
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite things in NXT in the last 3 years has been the absolute glorious Keith Lee. Now, I know everyone's going to be like, glorious, isn't that? No, he is limitless.
For his
glorious. Dude, I remember that run when he got, like, when he had that, because you were, like, super into Keith Lee already before he even got signed. Like, you knew about him.
He started popping on the indies for about 8 months, and then he became a massive star.
Yeah, and you were already into him, and I was like, okay, whatever, you know. And then they gave him that insane entrance, and they gave him all that. Oh, they got him so over with the NXT crowd, and he was a perfect NXT guy. He's, again, what do I always talk about? He's the big guy that can move like crazy, that can actually do it and not, like, kill himself. You know, like, it's insane, and the guy can go. And everything that he's done that I've seen, I've enjoyed. And they knew what they had in him. That's why he was brought up to the main roster, you know?
Yep. He had a massive spot with Braun Strowman at Survivor Series.
Oh.
And they just... they never let him be who he was on the main roster. And
I stripped all this stuff that they built up in NXT away, and they never let him shine with that on the main roster. If they had, he would have been their biggest. They would have had to put the world title on him. They would have had. There would have been no choice.
Keith Lee is AEW world championship material.
Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine if he challenged Hangman right now?
And everyone would buy into it because they know how good he is.
And they could see him being like one of the people that could walk in and actually presumably be like, yeah, I think I'd be a world champion right now. And I'm sure Hangman would be like, well, I want to be champion too. But, you know, like.
Absolutely. And Keith Lee, former Battle of Los Angeles winner. And my next guy as well is a former Battle of Los Angeles winner. And Garrett, I talk a lot about when Ricochet left the indies, Bandido took his place as the high flyer. We share the same birthday. And Garrett, I fucking love Bandido, former Ring of Honor world champion. He's been a champion. Again, we sound like a broken record, but that's just the talent that's out there right now. Everywhere he goes, he's been a fucking champion.
Yes. I haven't actually seen any Bandido matches myself personally. I've heard of the guy. I just haven't actually sat down and watched any of the matches because like the last like three to 4 years of Ring of Honor, I just didn't really pay attention as much.
And what's good is if you're a fan of Dante Martin, if you're a fan of Ricochet, you watch Bandido, you're going to be a fan. Right,
so imagine that triple threat.
Exactly, I think Bandido would forbidden smash door the triple fucking threat. Triple. Yeah, he would smash the forbidden door. I would love to see it. And
thinking about the matchup between him and Isaiah Cassidy, people don't think about Isaiah Cassidy this way, but he's just as much of a high flyer as Mark Quinn. Sorry,
he's phenomenal.
he can do a lot of that. Yeah, that's dude, a lot of these are just like, oh, by the way, every single one of these matches against Isaiah Cassidy is awesome in and of itself. Like, that's the crazy thing.
Agreed. Agreed. Who do you got next for us?
All right. Coming up next, we have a guy I've been wanting to show up for the entire time we've been doing this podcast. And we're talking about Wyndham Rotunda, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt. This would be an interesting one. Out of all the people that are on this list, this actually, as a matchup, is probably... I mean, I'm sure it would still be a great match, by the way. I'm not saying it wouldn't be, but it's probably the one that I would be like, okay, because there's been times throughout Wyndham's career where he hasn't really been allowed to shine in the ring. We know he can go. We know. We just know that. From NXT time to now, he's a great wrestler. But a lot of his character work, or a lot of his work, I should say, in WWE was really based in his character and not necessarily in the wrestling.
Imagine if he had complete, utter free control of it. Look what Malakai's doing. I mean,
I think he would get caught up in what Malakai's doing. I think he'd see what's going on over there and be like, I'm interested in this because this is a version of like what I was trying to do that we never really got to do over there. You know, like
friend of the podcast, Brady's been on here before with us. That's his favorite wrestler.
Yeah, he's amongst mine. He's probably the number two. Like when AJ Styles was like the thing I thought was the best thing in wrestling when we were doing our original podcast way forever ago now. I think in my head I had Bray Wyatt at number two because he was doing something so completely unique that, like, you know, there's been the Undertaker, there's been other spooky characters, there's been like the versions of Sting.
What he did,
he was doing
something
different. The Fiend was something completely different from what we're even talking about. But even before it was, even when it wasn't as good and was being filtered through like a WWE lens, he was still doing amazing stuff. And yeah, Bray / Wyndham would be awesome. Although I would be interested to see what kind of match that they would have.
I think out of our entire list, that might be the potential biggest star, other than Jeff Hardy. It'd go back and forth there. But I'm gonna give you an indie darling here, and I believe this guy has wrestled. He's part of the CM Punk class, the Bryan Danielson class, and that's Mr. Chris Hero.
Yes,
Chris Hero is a professional wrestler. Oh, I feel like that's the best thing I could say. Yeah, he ran in NXT for a little bit there, a couple stints actually.
Yeah,
never won anything.
No, never. How he never won a championship there, not even a tag title.
Nothing. They even shipped him off to the UK, and he did it there. Chris Hero is a professional wrestler. That's the best thing I can say about him. I think Chris Hero, even just if it's for a year, I would love to see him in AEW. And yeah, Jared, even where he's built from. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to say that. But yeah, Chris Hero kicks ass. Indie darling. Who do you got for us?
All right, indie darling that I got for everybody, maybe the current, I would say. You know what? I'm going to say the indie darling of the all time is probably on this list. But my personal favorite indie darling that's still on my list is Samoa Joe. I mean, let's be honest. Like, Samoa Joe has actually been one of those ones where, like, when he got released, we actually probably all thought in our heads, like, he's probably going to show up pretty quickly, you know? But I could see Samoa Joe taking his time and taking his options into account. He probably made enough money that he doesn't want to have to wrestle anymore.
And again, part of that CM Punk, Chris Hero, Bryan Danielson, Cesaro class that is legendary. He's a part of that class.
I think Joe would add a lot just in, like, because he's clearly got interest in doing backstage stuff. You know, he was doing backstage stuff when he was injured for a little while.
Samoa Joe would be an unbelievable hire.
It would be great for the company, and I would love to see him have another classic match with either Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, or any of the people in the company right now, to be honest with you. Like,
just a slight recap, since we're halfway through our list here. We've got John Morrison, Shane Strickland, Bandido, Chris Hero, Keith Lee, Jeff Hardy, Wyndham, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt, and Samoa Joe. So... I mean, we've listed eight guys, and I'm fucking down with all of them.
Exactly.
In their own way. So let's take it across the pond, if you will.
All right.
I'm going to give Jay White. Now, Jay White, Bullet Club leader, right?
Yep.
This Jay White has been phenomenal in New Japan since Kenny Omega left. So there's that kind of built-in thing right there.
Yep.
He's gone on to Impact and welcomed Chris Bay into Bullet Club. He wrestles with Gallows and Anderson there over the past summer. Jay White would smash open the Forbidden Door because with New Japan, they keep bringing people in, but they haven't had one of them sign the contract yet, right?
I thought Ishii was going to be the one after the matches that he had.
Yeah, I mean, dude, we were getting some really good stuff.
Suzuki could have signed a one-year deal and made enough money for the rest of his life, and then everyone would have respected him, and all he would have had to have done is, like, the simplest version of a match as he would do over in Japan, you know? And people would love it.
And Jay White, very, very young, 29 years old. So this is a little bit of a different one from a lot of people that we've named so far, and it would be interesting nonetheless.
I'm going to keep us on that side of the planet because I believe the guy that I'm going to talk about next is still signed to very recently was signed to New Japan, which is Juice Robinson. He was in Ring of Honor most recently. Fuck me, I guess. Oh, Impact. Wow, I'm clearly paying attention.
Well, that was part of their partnership.
Okay, so anyway, so he's been bouncing around between like New Japan and some of the American companies for the last few years, which a lot of people that were involved with Bullet Club were for a while, so that makes sense. So Juice has been champion, it looks like, in he was FCW champion, which I guess everybody was at some point that's an American wrestler, but he was also an Impact World Tag Team champion. He was IWGP heavyweight champion twice, apparently. Or sorry, United States champion. I'm sorry. I can read, guys.
You won it off of Tanahashi, I believe. Yeah.
I think I remember the Tanahashi match, I want to say.
Juice, phenomenal character.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of people in America instantly know who Juice is because he was one of the ones that I heard talked about in a lot of the internet wrestling, like communication, no, chat rooms or anything like that, but like Facebook groups and stuff like that. I know Juice was one of the really popular ones for a while that would get fantasy booked into a lot of stuff by people that wanted him to like sign with WWE and stuff like that. But I'm really interested to see what Juice would do because like anything that's been in New Japan recently or has mostly been a New Japan product showing up, like, and actually signing a contract would be so huge for AEW. So I don't know personally all that much about Juice because I've only kind of flippantly followed the other companies that I wasn't like. I've always been kind of, and I don't know why this is the way I am with wrestling, like all in with one company whenever I'm watching. Like I'll watch stuff from other places and be like absorbing that. But I'm not like actively following.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not actively following everything like some people because I just don't have, my brain doesn't have the capacity to do that. Like, yeah. I would just be constantly. Anyway.
We'll get another wrestler here who was on ROH Final Battle, and he picked up a victory at that show, and his most recent match was against Pentagon. He's also had success in New Japan, in Ring of Honor, and CMLL, and that is Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee has, I mean, there has been those teases. I mean, people thought when Andrade was recruiting people, Dragon Lee was potentially one of the guys. They thought it was him and maybe Rey Oris. And it's like, we've already kind of seen these little teases here and there. And anytime you can get someone who was a New Japan junior heavyweight champion, who's got that much talent. Voted Rookie of the Year in 2014 by the Wrestling Observer too. So it's really neat. I would be down with Dragon Lee. Very young. He's 26 years old. Holy hell. I mean, he theoretically has like another fucking 20 years of wrestling. That's just nuts when you think about it.
Well, it is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And speaking of people that picked up some pretty big wins on the final show of Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about Jonathan Gresham.
Final
Ring of Honor champion. Still defending the title on other shows, by the way.
I believe he defended it at Terminus and GCW, maybe.
So imagine if he showed up and said, hey, Isaiah Cassidy, would you like a Ring of Honor world title shot? Anyway.
There are so many dream matchups for Gresham right now. Imagine
if he took that threw it into the ladder match. No, this is actually a
wouldn't
title
that
match.
Be, no. Hold on. Wouldn't that be something special, though? The Forbidden Door is the Ring of Honor world championship showing up on AEW?
That would be pretty crazy. It would make sense too, especially if they're gonna sort of weird deal with Ring of Honor to keep them alive but not like fund them or buy them or anything. I don't know, that'd be weird. But
what if you got like Brian Danielson wanting that title back? setting up a dream match between Gresham and Danielson. Another match that people want to see, and they've done it on the indies a little bit, but Jonathan Gresham.
That's actually the joke, is that when he goes into this ladder match now, it becomes a ladder match for the title, and then Danielson makes it in, wins the title. Oh.
Give me Jonathan Gresham versus Daniel Garcia.
Yes.
Talk about that matchup style.
That would be incredible. That'd be nuts.
We're going to give you an Impact, former Impact World Champion, even if it was for 5 minutes. He had a mention this week on Dynamite, and that is Josh Alexander. It is believed that his contract is up. It sounds like clearly AEW knows who he is. And another guy, he's a former tag team champion with Ethan Page. So maybe they, you know, there's always options. I believe
third man of the year, Josh Alexander, question mark.
Right? So I'm down with this. Josh Alexander has become kind of the Impact guy over the past couple months. Like, he's really been like the Impact, you know, what am I trying to say here? The heart and soul of the brand, right?
Okay.
He's the guy that the fans want to be pushed.
Right. Even when Moose comes in and steals the championship.
Exactly. And they've had him beaten, you know, he beat Jonah at Hard to Kill. And that was a really big one. I'd get Jonah. I mean, he's not on our list, but Jonah would be awesome.
Hey. All right. One that I think would be really fun, and you guys can tell that they're going to pay attention to the list when I do this afterward, that I saved one of my favorite wrestlers, if not my favorite wrestler in the world right now, for last. But I actually think if Adam Scher were to show up, it would be really fun. I actually wonder if he would win that match, because do you have Isaiah Cassidy just eat a pin to Adam Scher unless you're like signing him? Because I don't know if
Well, the idea is that they are signing no matter what. So
is that the idea? I mean, because the idea I have in some of my head for some of these people is that it could be a one-off match. Like, because I don't know that all these people would necessarily sign with AEW.
Tony might be just saying some stuff, but the idea is that they will be signing a contract on screen. So
I'm thinking what will probably be the deal with that is that it's some sort of verbal agreement between the companies, but it's literally like in storyline. I could be wrong. Because Tony has kind of done a weird thing where he's blurred the lines between whether the Forbidden Door is kayfabe or not, you know, like, we don't, you know, so that's the only thing. He needs to be clear about what he means about this. Otherwise, it's going to get really weird. Adam Scher has not really, again, ever had a chance to just, like, go in the ring, I don't think, you know, like.
He's had some great feuds with great wrestlers, and what does AEW have plenty of? Great wrestlers. So
I mean, imagining matches against Lance Archer, Wardlow, Hobbs.
I mean, fuck it, Keith Lee. I mean, dude, just bring
George Joel. Bring them both in. And you know, I just any of those big men matches. Give me all of them, please. And
honestly, and I think Hangman could get a really good match out of them too.
And then make a big man championship title. It's just a giant 15-foot wide championship belt that's hanging from a 30-foot line.
Yes. All right, Garrett, my last one here before the bonus. We'll give a bonus at the end.
Okay.
I there would be some grunts among the crowd, but there'd also be some people that are like, God damn it. And that is Mr. Jeff Jarrett. He just wrestled in GCW. He just beat Effie in GCW. Jeff Jarrett has wrestled everywhere. Some of the best punches in professional wrestling. Let's be honest there.
It's true.
The man knows how to throw a beautiful punch.
I'd be one of the groans because I remember watching Jeff Jarrett wrestle on old school NWA TNA, and I was just like, okay.
I would be like, ugh. He was on WWE 2 weeks ago in a segment with Nakamura and Rick Boogs, and he was on GCW that same week. So maybe Jeff Jarrett is completing a trifecta and going to AEW.
I mean, that would be the trifecta. If they wanted to try and create that sort of, WWE, WCW, ECW sort of dynamic between those three companies, and they all three want to interact and trade talent, and maybe WWE starts having death matches on certain pay-per-views. Not death matches, but, you know, like extreme rules matches with, like, Nick Gage and stuff like that, where he comes in and does more than they would normally allow, you know?
Nick Gage, that was a I'm surprised he's not back.
Surprised he's not on our lists.
I thought when they brought him in that he had a nice reaction, so I thought he'd stay. But who do you got for our last one?
I got Johnny Wrestling. And man, the pop from the crowd for this guy when he does show up, if he does show up, is going to be insane. He's been one of the consistently most over guys since he was on the indies, and he's carried those fans with him everywhere he has gone. And the AEW audience is the same people that go and see him at NXT. It literally is, you know, except that there are more of them.
We talked about the heart and soul of Impact. Johnny Gargano was the heart and soul of NXT.
Yes, and he can become the heart and soul of AEW. Not that that's not currently a filled position, but he would just inevitably become that because he just becomes the essence of the wrestling that you're watching no matter what show he's on. And Johnny Gargano has historically, if you look at what he's ever done, he's always stepped in and become like instantly one of the most over guys on the roster. And I believe he could even stand out in this roster full of absolutely just incredible wrestlers.
Johnny is talented enough where he would stand out here.
Give me Johnny versus Danielson, because we never got it. Give me Johnny versus CM Punk. Give me Johnny versus give me Johnny versus Daniel Garcia. Give me Johnny versus
Dante.
Moriarty. Dante Martin. Give me
Johnny versus Isaiah Cassidy. And guess what?
Johnny versus the whole roster in a stadium stampede match. Like, give it to me. Like,
100%. All right, so real quick, I'll run through the 16. You guys stuck around for all this, man. I fucking appreciate it. We all appreciate it. This has been fun. John Morrison, Shane Strickland, Bandito, Chris Hero, Jay White, Dragon Lee, Josh Alexander, Jeff Jarrett, Samoa Joe, Adam Scherr, Jeff Hardy, Wyndham, Keith Lee, Juice Robinson, Jonathan Gresham, Johnny fucking Wrestling, Mr. Johnny Gargano, and Garrett as a bonus. He's been in the news this week because he's been fired by his own father, and that's Shane McMahon. If Shane McMahon shows up, I wouldn't want him in the match. That's the problem. But if they brought Shane McMahon in a backstage, like, kind of gimmick role with Tony?
Because these could be two separate people, by the way. Some people have pointed that out. The Forbidden Door thing could be separate to the person that's coming in to face Isaiah Cassidy. It could be two separate people, which is interesting idea, you know, because then you could see,
like, imagine Tony will bring Shane to wrestle, but I could totally see him bringing him in to just fuck over the Forbidden Door. But
What if he did it just to misdirect us from who he's actually going to bring in to face Cassidy?
Yeah, I mean, that's more than possible. I think I wouldn't want to live with how the reactions to this would be. Because everyone would be like, oh, this is, now we know WWE and AEW are working together.
Yeah, and they'd say, how long before WWE buys AEW, and they just become the alternate show that you can watch, and it's still called AEW, and it's still branded, and Tony Khan's still allowed to run it and do whatever he wants, but it's owned by WWE, you know, or something like that. Which is probably, honestly, if people want to be real, that could happen, by the way. WWE can see the writing on the wall that they're going to get surpassed at some point, just buy it, and then put their branding underneath it somewhere. Not call it WWE and just let's say, all right, this is the other wrestling show. They could do that. They got the money. You know what I mean? Like,
I think in a perfect world, they enter a partnership within the next 3 years and they have,
They're just connected in the same way that WWE and New Japan have been for years, you know, because WWE knows they're never going to do what New Japan does. So they're not going to try. What they do is every so often they trade talent, you know, and that can be the exact same. There are plenty of talent in WWE right now that would love to be in AEW and vice versa. I guarantee it, you know, And AEW talent would hate that. That's probably super obvious to some of us, but like, it. I mean, you know, because I think some of them that have never been there have this thought in their head that even though it would be as bad as everybody says, at least they'd be probably used because they, as a star, can probably stand out amongst a
sea. Like Diamante.
Like, think about, like, yeah, in the women's division especially, think about it. Like, there's so many talented people on the AEW roster that would fit right into that system and they would be able to just make their money and not really care that it's the worst. Like, people, there's some people that don't care about the thing that most AEW wrestlers do, which is like the almost the entire artistic integrity of wrestling. You know, like, some of them in that company that I guarantee don't, you know.
So let's say in our final minute here, gun to our head, you have to pick one person.
Oh, it's easy. Johnny Wrestling. Not even a question.
Okay.
Like, or Bray. I mean, it's a toss up between those two, but either of those, 100%. Like, I would be with.
And I would love either of those. I'm going to say, gun to my head, it's Keith Lee.
That would be incredible.
I think that's the route. But hey, guys, thanks for sticking around for this. You can catch our podcast, the actual show, Eat, Sleep, Elite, on Saturday.
Yeah,
I mean, we really appreciate this. We had fun doing this. We've been thinking about, I've been thinking about this like all day. So it's like, I don't know, whenever we get the chance to do these minis, which I like, I kind of like that name, ESE Mini. It's like, whenever we get the chance, whether it's a prediction or what, we always like to try and hop in here and do it and get two episodes a week out here. So, yeah. Any closing thoughts for the people, Garrett?
Don't be disappointed if it's not who you want it to be, people, because
you might not know who it is.
Yeah, it might be somebody that we barely even considered. Like, I didn't expect Dan Housen to get a contract before somebody like Anthony Green, but here we are, you know? So,
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. Try not to, it's fun to predict, but don't let, there's a saying here, and
I'm joking, but
it's something about don't let imagination become expectation, something like that.
Yeah.
But, yep. Yeah. We will catch you guys at the end of the week.
Next up.
By God, it's Kane!
Ryborg has entered the impact zone.